Hey everybody, welcome to Kamloops Alliance. My name is Chris and I'm just privileged that you would spend time with us in this absolutely insane world that we are living in. We thought 2020 was interesting. 2021 has been even more, I guess, if interesting is even the word. So I just know there's so many people tuning in who are like me, just kind of displaced by all of this, just kind of feeling the weight of it all. And then there's some of you who are tuning in who have been directly affected, either in Merritt or Abbotsford, about all of this week's events. And so what I want to do is I want to give you an update kind of what we're doing here as a church in response to this, and I also want to just pray. The first thing is our church deeply desires to be a part of the healing, the restoration, and the help needed at this time. And so some of our paid staff were down at MacArthur Island here in on the North Shore with emergency support services, working with them, figuring out needs. And then we asked a volunteer call out, and we sent about 50 of our people down there, you perhaps, to MacArthur Island just to help with Salvation Army and food and all that stuff. Also, we've had individual requests here to the church that we've also been able to meet as well. There's also a few things in the works right now that we're hoping to bring to you as far as other opportunities for you to volunteer, get involved in lifting people and meeting needs right now. But like we always say, we want to be a praying church. And so would you bow with me as I pray? Lord, here we are with all of our challenges and all of these things. It seems like, Lord, my assumptions of what is normal and what felt normal are gone as far as living in a pandemic and all of the displacement that's come from that. And then just the assumption that highways will be intact and that streams and rivers don't overflow, and that has also been taken away. And so here we are with all of the feelings of that. Lord, I want to recognize and pray for the people tuning in who have been directly affected, evacuated from Merritt or in Abbotsford, and just the sense of loss and grief, and the adrenaline now is coming down from being evacuated, and now there's the sense of all that's been lost. So Lord, I would pray that you would meet all of their practical needs, and that you would come alongside of them in ways that they would be able to tell either in the moment or for sure afterwards of your involvement and your care. Lord, for the rest of us that are just in it, living through this, seeing these pictures, images online or in the news, I feel it as well. So we just call out to you, O Lord, our God and our strength, and would ask that you would come alongside weary pilgrims like us who are living in this world and feel the groaning of it. Lord, I'm grateful for all of the good stories that have come from people who have stepped up and who have served and who have given, who have made soup, who have all of these good things. Lord, we see all of that good and we're so grateful for the human spirit that wants to and desires to come alongside people who are suffering. And we also see equally sad pictures of people hoarding resources, of the worry of looting of cities that have been evacuated and all of those things. And so we live in the tension of the good and yet also the things that grieve us. Lord, I pray that you would make us salt and light people. So we pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying. Here we go. Matthew chapter 7. As we land the plane on the world anew. The world anew actually came from a quote from an Indian thinker, actually. And she said, basically, pandemics were the time through history where people experience and see the world anew. And so in this world anew, we just feel all of these things. And how are you going to live? And is Jesus still going to be a part of this world, this new world that you're living in? Man, I just remember back in 2019, which doesn't seem like a long time ago, but back in the good old days. Remember the good old days of 2019 where you could actually go to Save On Foods without wearing a mask, and you could go to Save On Foods and there would be toilet paper and there would be produce that you could buy. Those were the good old days. I heard somebody this past week say that every year of COVID is like a dog year, like 1 year equals seven. And so it seems like eons ago that we had some sense of stability in our world. And so in this world anew, we've been listening to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, come to us, explain to us what a flourishing life looks like. And so my job, what I felt like, is just to remind you, don't forget about Jesus. Don't forget about Jesus in the middle of this crazy world that we're living in. And so What I want to do is I want to offer you an honorary degree and a carpentry ticket. All right. So let me explain. I'm a millennial, so I just think we're all living through a pandemic. We all got these crazy things going on. We all need kind of a badge. We need a participant's ribbon. And so I want to grant you an honorary degree. Of the first one is a PhD. Yeah, that's right. Honorary PhD for everybody this weekend in philosophy. All right. Philosophy. And you're like, oh, what in the world? Philosophy. I took that course, didn't understand anything. So the question is, why do you get an honorary degree in philosophy? What is philosophy? I love this. William James, he's one of the first psychologists in the United States, philosopher, brilliant mind. He says, philosophy is an unusually obstinate effort to think clearly. That's what this series has been about. An unusually obstinate, stubborn effort to think clearly about our world. And so everybody, you get a PhD this weekend about how to think clearly about your life and your world. And everybody tuning in this weekend, regardless of who you are thinking about your world and processing what is good and what is true and who am I and what is the point of all this? And is there any hope? Those are all big, deep philosophical questions. So you get a PhD and you also get your carpentry ticket, all right? Because we think and then we also build. So all of us are building a life based on how we are thinking about our world and the decisions that we're making. We're building something here. And so some people, you have Milwaukee tools. Other people have like Bosch tools. Other people like me have Fisher-Price, all right? I'm not a handy person, but I do have the gift of thinking philosophically about my life, and I have the gift of building a life. And so I may not be able to swing a real hammer, but I do have the gift of building a life, and that's what this sermon series has been about. Let's think clearly. Let's have a PhD in philosophy, and now let's build a life based on the teaching of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to see this weekend in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Well, it's a 29, I should say. So here's kind of the big idea. We continue to face just absolutely enormous challenges in our culture. And in the middle of the storm, in the middle of all of this time, Jesus invites us to build our lives upon him, the firm foundation. And so Jesus now at the end of his sermon says, who are you going to be? So let's get into it here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the wise builder, he starts like this. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, two things, hears and practices. Christianity, at the heart of Christianity, is a message. It is something that you hear. It's a declaration of good news, something that has happened, an event in history that has happened, regardless of how you feel about it. Christianity first starts with a message that you hear. That's why preaching is a big deal in our tradition, because you hear a message. Christianity doesn't come to you and first say, here's what you got to do. You got to do these things. You got to go there. You got to pray these many times. No, no, no. Christianity first says you need to hear a message. You need to hear the words of Jesus and the good news of Christianity. But also, you must practice them. It is not just hearing and it is not just practicing. You have to do both. Practicing is what is required after hearing. So imagine this. You're watching maybe even this weekend, Sunday night football, Monday night football, or if you're a CFL fan, it's on Saturday, whatever. We can all be friends. All right. You love the NFL, love the CFL. We can all be friends. The NFL is better, but the CFL is also okay. All right. But so imagine you're watching your team and the quarterback has a huddle and there's all the different players. The number now changes depending on if you're a CFL or NFL fan. I digress. So the players are on the field. The quarterback here calls a play. We're going to screen pass over here. So everybody goes break. And then the team goes on the sidelines, high fives each other. Hey, that was a great play call. Has a sip of Gatorade, comes back and says, okay, now what's the next play? The quarterback says, okay, I guess we'll do a running play, maybe a deep, whatever. Calls another play. Team says, break, awesome, love the play. Goes back on the sidelines, high fives each other. They talk about how great that play was. Maybe another sip of Gatorade and comes out. Eventually, the quarterback is going to say, fellas, it's time to run the play. It's not just about hearing about it. It's now time to actually do it. That's how the game of football is played. It is hearing and it is also doing. You right now, in this time, have access to more information, more Christian content than any other time in human history. Do you realize that? Like, I have an app on my phone. I have Logos Bible software, it's called. I have more Bible information available to me on my phone than most of human history. Any theologian, any scholar of history that would ever have in their entire lives. I have on my smartphone. You have podcasts. You have online influencers and thinkers that you can follow right now. There's a smorgasbord, a buffet of different people way better than me that you can listen to, that you can just pick and pick and pick. Information, hearing of the message of Christianity, you have more opportunity than any other time in human history. Content isn't the issue. The issue is digesting that content and putting it into practice. I think most of us, including me, are great. We're like that football team. Hey, that was an amazing podcast. Hey, was that an amazing podcast? Then we go for more, but we don't actually think about it. We don't actually digest it. We don't actually put it into practice. Jesus here, everyone who hears and practices, it is both. That spiritual formation is about practicing the faith. That's why it's one of our four words about disciple making. We love, we gather, we practice the faith, and we go. And so I know some of you right now are enrooted. And rooted, what's the point of rooted? We want everybody to go through rooted so you get a sense of how to practice the faith, of how to actually put Jesus's words. Everyone who hears these words of mine, they are the words of Jesus. They are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This word wise in the original language is a Greek word, phronimos. And this is about being prudent, discerning. It's not just information overload without digesting it. This is a person who thinks about something clearly and then builds something because of it. Remember, you have a PhD and you have your ticket in carpentry. We are thinkers and we are builders. And that's what this person is. A wise person thinks and then they do. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And this wise person, this wise builder, built his house on the rock. This is the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and his words. And in this way, everybody is building on something. Everybody is hearing a message and building their life on it. Now, the message may be internal. Some of the messages that you may hear is that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, and that's what you are hearing, and you're building a life on that bad, unhealthy idea. Others of us are hearing positive things from the scriptures, from community, from Rooted, from Genesis Process, from life groups, right? We're hearing those things from the Word, from Jesus, and from the community of faith, and we're building our lives on it. Others of us are hearing other words about our world, about maybe postmodernism or relativism. We're hearing these messages and we're building our life on what we believe is true and stable. Everybody, whether you are religious or not, Christian or not, seeking, whoever you are actively building your life upon something. You are. The question is it true and is it stable? Is it true? Think about that. Is it true? Does it correspond with reality? That's what it means if something is true. Does it correspond with reality? Is it stable? Will it be easily overturned when something happens, when there's a nudge or a storm comes? Will it hold? So the question is, which words, which message are you hearing, thinking, digesting, and then practicing? Jesus says, for those who hear words of mine and put them, is there a wise man who built their house on a rock? So what's the outcome of this? What's the outcome? It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. This is the outcome. If you are a person who thinks and chooses to practice the way of Jesus, not just information, but actually does them, you will be like this person. So I just want to be really sensitive to the imagery found in this, because this is, in a sense, prophetic, because these images of rains coming and streams rising and houses falling, we've seen on the news all week. And so I think in some ways it's actually prophetic. It's visceral. It means something. But it's also, for some of you, very real. And so I want to be sensitive. But isn't this in the forefront of your mind right now? The rains came. The atmospheric river came to your house. Maybe literally this week. The rains came down. What a week to talk about this. So I just want to give you a sense maybe of some context here of what Jesus may be referring to. He is speaking this in the north of Israel, but most people would know the topography of Israel, and especially Jerusalem. So if you think of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is on top of a mountain. All through the Gospels, when they talk about going to Jerusalem, they always talk about going up to Jerusalem, regardless of where they come from, north, east, west, or south, because Jerusalem is on top of a mountain. And I think actually in that way, it's a cool thing that the writers of the Gospels and the New Testament get the topography, the geography of Israel correct every single time. I think that's another reason to believe. Anyway, that's for free. Jerusalem's on the top. You have on the bottom here, Jericho. All right? Jericho and the Dead Sea. Let's just put the Dead Sea here, okay? There's water there. There's 498 meters between Jerusalem and Jericho. Jericho's Dead Sea's the lowest point on earth. And so what would happen is the rain would come. It's very dry, very arid, and the ground wouldn't saturate, the ground would not get saturated from the moisture. And so what would happen is that the rains would come and the floods would flow down this mountain, this steep terrain into Jericho. And even today, if you go to Israel and you're there and you're hiking in what's called wadis down here, you're hiking in general, you actually have to call people up river, up the mountain, to make sure that it's not raining there. Because if it is, these streams will come and it could take it out. So what he's saying is the person who builds their house down here built it on a rock. Let's get a different color for a rock so it doesn't look the same as the Dead Sea. Built it here on this rock, and it did not fall. Notice that these people listened to the words of Jesus, put it into practice, and listen, still go through storms. Still go through storms. Just because we follow Jesus does not mean that we will not face these times. And some, I think, sometimes in an effort maybe for evangelistic further, we want to get more people following Jesus, we actually sell people a false bill of goods when it comes to what it means to follow Jesus. Just because you follow Jesus does not mean you won't get cancer, does not mean you won't be at the bedside of a sick loved one, does not mean that you won't live through a pandemic, does not mean that your house will not be threatened by natural disasters, does not mean, like, just because you follow Jesus doesn't remove us from all of the difficulty of this world. His promise was never for us to get through with ease. That's not the point. Bruner says this. I point this out to you because I want you to know that a lot of these ideas that I present to you are not my own. So I hope you don't think I'm that smart. So here's what Bruner says. Great commentary that I've really relied on heavily throughout the sermon series. His commentary on Matthew. Bruner says this. Obedience to Jesus' words is not so much protection from troubles as a protection in them. Just as a rock under a house does not shield from storms, but supports during them. The promise of Jesus, if we hear his words, think about his words, digest his words, put them into practice, is not that we will be removed from the challenges that you and I are facing. Rather, we will have a foundation on which our house rests that will not fall in the middle of them. That is what Jesus is saying in this moment. And so here we are. Here we are. And what it says this. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It also says, as a, maybe a helpful correction here, that this house isn't a mansion. It's not a mansion. It's just a house. But its foundation, which matters most, is solid. That we don't get ease. We probably often don't get comfort. The promise is that we're still standing in the middle of the storm as March 2020 came. And the whole world was taken out by all of this. And then all of the after stuff and all of the division and all of the protests and all of the negativity and all of the division. The promise, if we listen to the words of Jesus and put them into practice, is that we can stand in the middle of it. One of the songs that we sing says, my anchor holds within the veil, in the middle of the storm. And my image that I have got so many times as I have tried to lead well in this season . The image that I get is KAC is a ship, and I'm standing next to Jesus. He is the one steering it. And then there's our staff and you on this ship. And the image that I see is us not getting away from the storm, but actually sailing directly into it, directly into the storm. And what's comforted me is the fact that Jesus is at the helm and he's smiling. He's smiling because he knows more than me and he knows more than us. And that his provision will sustain us, me, throughout this season. So that's the promise. It's not that we get a mansion, not that we don't get storms, but we have a house and the foundation is solid enough to bring us through the storm. All right. Woo, here we go. So Bruner says that. Let's look at the foolish builder in verse 26 and 27. There's another way, all right? He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So think about this. And does not. There are two groups of people, both hearing the words of Jesus. But everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's the same statement. You have two groups of people who are hearing. One of them is practicing and the other is not. So sometimes we want to say about this text, oh, it's about the non-Christians, or the people maybe of you who are maybe seeking, wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And the people who follow Jesus are the ones with a solid foundation. And the ones who don't are the people who build on sand. That's not what Jesus is saying. What he is comparing and contrasting are those who follow Jesus, one who practices and the other group who doesn't. That's what he is talking about here. It's not about Christians and non-Christians. It's about Christians who listen and obey and Christians who do not. And the Sermon on the Mount has come to us and provided a vision of what a flourishing life looks like. The very words and message of Jesus. That's what the sermon has been. So the sermon has been talking about salt and light. Will you be salt and light? We talked about there, it was that, will we be an outward focused agent of the kingdom of God? The moment that we turn inward, the moment that we start to only think about our needs, the moment that we shrink back from needs from people in Merritt or in our province right now, is the moment that we lose our right, that we lose our privilege to be salt and light. Are you practicing that? Another place that we didn't get to this, will you be people of forgiveness? When your one cheek gets slapped, will you turn the other one? Will you be people of forgiveness? Will you forgive as you've been forgiven? We talked about murder and adultery last week, or anger and lust. Man, it's hard teaching. I told everybody, put your helmet on because it's hard. Will we be people who harbor our anger against our brother or sister? And will we be people that let the sexual drive determine everything in our life? Will we consume other people's humanity for our own sexual gratification? Jesus says, don't do it. That is a broad way that leads to destruction. We talked about treasures. Where is your treasure? Is it here or is it in heaven? Will you reject the materialism of things and stuff and money and store up for yourself a radical, fulfilling, satisfying life in Jesus that would overflow into today? Are you that type? Are you practicing simplicity? Are you practicing generosity? Pastor Tim talked about worry and anxiety, something in our culture that is just so delicate. And Jesus says, who will you bow to? Me or your worry? Are you actively bringing your anxiety and your worries to Jesus, saying, you are Lord and I am not? We looked at the Lord's Prayer. Are you actively thinking about prayer? We have Revive this weekend on Sunday night. Are you the type of person that will say, I won't watch Sunday night football and I will come to prayer, because this is the type of person that we have a grand big God that I want to invoke his kingdom to come. Are you practicing that? Are you a person that is denying the broad gate and entering through the narrow gate? Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, that's what he's getting at, is like a foolish man. This word foolish, unlike the word wise, is in the original language moros, where, yes, it looks like it, where we get the word moron, all right? Is like a moron, an ignorant person who built his house on the sand. The question for Jesus in this text, in this verse, is this. It's not, are you saying nice things about Jesus? Are you attending church? Are you hearing nice things about Jesus through podcasts, sermons, and classes? But is Jesus the Lord of your life? And are you obeying his words? Are you putting them into practice? Or are you like the Pharisees, as Jesus has been outlining in this sermon, who just act and play the part? That's what Jesus is getting at. Now, what's the outcome of this approach? The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against a house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the outcome of those of us who play church, who sit in pews, who consume content, but have no love of Jesus in their heart. They don't give. They don't serve. They arrive late. They leave early. There's no active, growing affection for Jesus Christ and what he has done. That's the harsh reality of how Jesus ends his sermon. I love what Jesus is doing here, because I always want to be pointing out how harsh Jesus is to those Christians who just play it, right? They're a foolish man who built their house on the sand. What Jesus is doing here, he's indicting those people who speak and know but don't actually do. And so for those of you who are checking out Christianity, I want to be pointing that out to you. That Jesus is always, always has a harsh word to people who profess the name of Jesus but don't act like him. Always, always having a harsh word. And here he is again, calling them morons, ignorant. They're unlike the wise builder. And this house falls with a great crash. If you were to walk up to one house and walk up to this other house that crashed before the storm, they would both look the same. Both look the same. Both in the same neighborhood. Both have a door. Both have windows. Both have roofs. But what differentiates these houses is the storm. Because what the storm comes and does is the storm exposes what is already there. It exposes what is already present. You don't see the foundations. You don't walk into a house and say, wow, you got a good looking foundation. You come into a house and say, wow, that's a nice lamp. I don't know. There's a nice couch, whatever, architecture. You don't actually look at the foundations, but the storm exposes what is already there. Both houses, in this way, both people hear, but only one of them is doing what Jesus is saying. They attend church. They're in life group. They go to Rooted, but only one of them is actually doing it. And how do you tell? You bring on a storm. What you must not say, what we must war against saying, is, I like this stuff. I like this Jesus guy, but he really doesn't have any impact in my life. I want to be clear. Following Jesus makes a terrible hobby. Following Jesus makes a terrible hobby. Where we just play and we just act and we just hear and we don't do. Jesus is actually in this moment, he is not allowing us to come away from this sermon and say, wow, Jesus, you preach the sermon, you see him in the lobby, like, Jesus, fantastic sermon. Wow, that part about the birds not worrying, that was amazing. I love the sermon. As we often do, Jesus is not allowing us just to say that. Jesus is going to come to us and say, what are you going to do about it? Will you follow me? Will you obey me? Do you actually love me? This is what Jesus is saying. I've gotten some feedback from the trailer or the bumper, the sermon bumper that started these sermons. And some of it's been great. I mean, Ben, who put it together, is ridiculously talented. We are so, so grateful and for him and his gifts and our whole communications team. But it's been triggering, you've said. Man, all of these stuff about, you know, the pandemic and Bonnie Henry and all the racial stuff. And you're like, it's triggering for me. I don't like it. And in some ways, I understand. But I do think it's served its purpose because you have a choice of the words you're going to hear and the life you're going to build. And the difference is, what are you listening to and how are you building right now? How now will you live in this time? You do have a choice. And so what now? Here's a few questions maybe for you. Are you flourishing or are you withering? Are you flourishing right now or are you withering? The whole point of the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus has a blueprint for a flourishing life. And if we follow the blueprint, if we listen and if we do, his promise is that we will live a flourishing life. That Jesus Christ is the path to human flourishing. You have listened to his words. You have listened and heard about his vision. And now the question is, are you going to do it? And by doing so, you'll flourish. The second question is, at the core of who you are, do you actually love Jesus? Do you actually love Jesus? Both houses look alike, but one has something that the other doesn't. Two people look alike, but one has something that the other doesn't. A genuine love of Jesus. We can look good on the outside like the Pharisees. We can do it. We can come on the arm of a friend or our spouse. We can play and play and play and play. But the difference is when the storm comes, one person will stand and the other one will fall. We can do great things for Jesus. We can work hard for Jesus. But if we don't love him, this thing is out of control and it will not last. So are you playing Christianity, my friend? Are you playing it? Or do you really love Jesus? Is he the strongest affection in your life? And then the third question is, do you see and acknowledge Jesus for who he is? And so let me just read to you the last two verses of the sermon, and then we'll end it. It says in verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. That the people listening to this sermon, gathered around the feet of Jesus on a sunny day, I'm imagining that, in the Galilee region of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, who is God, says to people, here's how you live a flourishing life. And at the end of this sermon, they're amazed. I can't believe it. Throughout the sermon, Jesus has taken them on a journey. It's been hard. It's been encouraging. It's been challenging. It's been convicting. It's been all of these things. And at the end of the sermon, the greatest sermon, their hearts were stirred. They were amazed at what they heard. Is this true? Could this be the way? Is this the Jewish Messiah we've been waiting for? They were amazed at who he is. And then they said, because he taught as one who had authority. My friend, if Jesus is who he is, if he is Lord of all, if he is resurrected and alive today, this is not a message. This is not a sermon that you can simply select all, delete, and ignore. This is not something you can just add onto the heap pile of the podcast and everything that you've been searching and listening to. This must stand apart. These people had heard words before, had heard instruction before from their teachers, but Jesus comes, he cuts through all of it, and he speaks a word to humanity, and he is speaking a word, I believe, to some of you today. Do you see and acknowledge Jesus for who he is? He has authority. Why? Because he is Lord and he is God. So we'd love to come alongside of you. If you want to take a step towards Jesus, even this weekend. Some of you, see, he might be calling you unto himself. You've been journeying with us. We invited you last week to decide, and maybe this is a weekend for you. There's great people online that would love to lead you through. Get a hold of me, chris@countlessalliance.com. One of our pastors, we would love to lead you in some of those next steps of how you take a step towards Jesus if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. Or maybe there's something in your life addressed in the sermon that you need to do. That you've heard it about lust, you've heard it about anger, you've heard it about all these things, but you haven't done it. Today's the day. Today is the day. So let me pray. Lord, be with my friends who are living in this time, who are trusting our church in this crazy season. Give them courage, Lord, to hear and then now do. May we be people who don't just listen to the words that you speak to us, but we actually put them into practice. For our greater joy, Lord, for our greater joy and your glory, we pray. Amen. Hey, I love you. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.